As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist, and you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, your Applebaum Potomac Company's Kristen Rebeck, who is with Cressa, John Hill, and George Mason University, John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, Emery Spadafore, and Henry Fagan. Mr. John Schuhart, can you give us a rundown on who we have on the air today?
Sure, Herb. Our first guest is David DeLuigi, Regional President of Wilmington Trust. Our second guest is Karen Zuckerman, Chief Creative Officer of HZDG. Our third guest is Cal El Sayed, CEO of Guidance Residential LLC, and our last guest is Joseph Zimmerman, the COO of eGlobal Tech.
Excellent. Let's get to know our first guest, David DeLuigi, Regional President of Wilmington Trust. David, what is Wilmington Trust?
Wilmington Trust is the estate planning and investment advisory arm of M&T Bank.
How large or how small is this organization?
M&T has about 17,000 employees and is the 15th largest bank in the United States.
Where are you from originally?
I was born here in Washington and lived here my entire life.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have one brother and one sister.
Where are you in the pecking order?
And I'm the oldest.
And what do mom and dad do for a living?
Well, my father, they're both retired now, but my father was an architect and my mom was a school teacher.
Are you more like your mom or your dad?
I'd say I'm a combination of both. I think I get my passion from my mother and my patience from my father.
And didn't you mention there's some immigrant stuff going on in your family?
My mother immigrated to the United States from Argentina when she was about 5 or 6 years old and escaped the Peron dictatorship, and my father's family immigrated from Italy.
How young were you when you were aware of the effect of where your parents came from on them?
That was very early on. Our family is very close-knit, and both my parents working. My grandmother on my mom's side raised us during the day when my parents were working before school.
We'll dig into this in a couple seconds. Mr. Hillen, did you have a question there?
David, you do wealth management now. When I think of wealth management, I think of people that have been around a lot of wealth, so they know all the ins and outs, the tricks of the trade. How does a kid growing up poor understand anything about wealth management?
I would say I learned the value of money from my father. We started working, my brother and I, when we were very young, had a paper route, delivered the Washington Post from the time I was 6 to the time I was 18. And one of the rules that my father had was for every dollar we earned, we had to put 50 cents in the bank.
Did you follow the rule?
It was required. We didn't have a choice. He played a little bit of a game with it, too. Every $1,000 that we accumulated, we'd walk to the bank and buy a certificate of deposit.
Wow. So it really reinforced. How young were you when you started making money?
6.
And you mentioned you were doing it with your brother.
Yes.
Why?
We were both about the same age. My brother's 18 months younger. But we both needed to do it together because the paper route was fairly large, but we would alternate, especially when we were sick.
Didn't you mention that that grew into another kind of business? What other kind of business did it grow into, and why and how?
Sure. We parlayed the paper route into lawn mowing, leaf raking.
How did that happen?
Personal relationships with our customers.
Did they ask you or did you ask them?
A combination. We would do a very good job delivering the papers, and they liked the service, and they asked us to do more.
What did you learn from delivering newspapers and mowing lawns has anything to do with wealth management?
I'm in the service business, whether it's banking or wealth management, and so we deal with people, and people want to do business with others that they like and trust.
Anne-Marie?
So, David, you'd mentioned that you spent a lot of time around your immigrant grandparents growing up, and you also grew up in a very international city, Washington, D.C. So what do you take to your work from those experiences?
Well, I think, one, Washington I view as my town. I've been here my entire life. Relationships here are very important. But I also think that differences that people have bring richness to the community and really should be embraced and accepted. Mm-hmm.
Kristen?
Before the show, you had mentioned that you went to DeMatha, a very well-known school here, and you said your mother worked there as well. How did that impact your experience in school?
Sure. Her first year teaching was my freshman year at DeMatha Catholic, and as a result, I've been involved in the school since 1984.
Yeah, but tell us how it felt when you're a freshman at school and all your friends are like, and they know it's your mother. How did it make you feel? Make you feel weird or strange, or you didn't want to admit it, or what?
Well, I think at first it was a little odd and a little uncomfortable. But as I worked through the 4 years, it actually became really a sense of pride
became a sense of pride.
I think the fact that my family was so involved in the school, with my brother and I having gone there at the same time, and my mom teaching there, and it still is a very big part of my life today.
So, as opposed to hating school or cutting classes or running away or acting out, you didn't feel that way.
Well, there was no way I was going to be able to cut class because I rode to school with my mother in the morning.
How'd that make you feel going to school with your mom in the morning?
It forced us to get up after, we were getting up early anyway for the paper route, but we had to be prepared for school, and it was, mm-hmm. There's a sense of integrity and pride.
What are you talking, a sense of integrity? What do you mean?
You always had to do your homework. You always had to be there on time.
What's that have to do with being a wealth manager? How'd that plant the seeds for your wealth management career?
Well,
considering you're the regional president of Wilmington Trust.
I think making sure that you're always doing your best, you strive for excellence, and expect the most not only of yourself but others, and doing more than what's expected.
Mr. Hillen?
David, you stayed involved with your high school. You're on the board. You're on the board of your college, too. You're on the board of a lot of things, actually. I thought finance guys just chased the next deal, the next buck. Where did this streak of loyalty to the institutions that you grew up with come from when you were a kid? When did you realize you were loyal?
Well, I first believe that you have to give back. We all come from somewhere, and we all are part of some community. So being a part of that, there's a sense of responsibility of doing good.
How young were you when you realized that?
Oh, from a very early age.
What was it that helped you realize that?
Well, I think it really first started with my parents and the church that we went to and the things that we were required to do, whether it's visiting people in nursing homes or doing things for our elderly neighbors without being paid.
Boy, that must be pretty rotten when you're a kid. You have to do that stuff.
Well, I think any kid, when you're that young, you're doing things that you really weren't excited about. But as you got older, you realize the impact that it had on you.
Mr. Shuhart?
Yeah, as a kid, when was the first time on your own you cared for somebody else?
I would say when we were probably 7 or 8 years old, my brother and sister and I would do things for our neighbor next door, who were elderly and kind of our adopted grandparents. And my parents would never allow us to take any money from them because it was, that was our obligation.
Give me that again. What was this? It was your neighbors next door?
So our neighbors next door kind of became our adopted grandparents. Their kids were older and out of the house and always needed help doing something around in the yard or around the home.
And what'd your parents make you do?
We would have to help them with whatever they needed.
And you weren't able to charge them any money or stuff?
Nope.
How'd you feel about that?
When you're a kid, you always want to make some money and put it in your pocket. But, I think it gave us a sense that giving back and being kind and helpful to others is and especially when you're not going to receive anything in return, is very important.
I keep hearing the words we and us repeatedly. How does that show up in what you do today at Wilmington Trust?
Well, it's difficult to be successful individually. You need a team of people around you to really create the impact and achieve success and results in life.
So you're really built for your job, aren't you?
I hope so. I think so.
What do you mean?
I started off on the commercial side of the bank. I'm now on the wealth side of the bank. But I think what has helped to make me successful is to think of myself as a connector of people and relationships. And one of the ways that I try to do that is by doing something for others. And I think that the true definition of generosity is doing something without expecting anything else in return.
Henry?
David, you said you're the oldest of three. What do you think translated from being the oldest of three into what do you do now?
Well, always watching out for my younger brother and sister, hopefully trying to be the responsible one around the house.
Was that something that got told to you? Was that expected of you? Did you just assume that role? What's behind that?
You know, I think it goes back to the days of our paper route. You know, we'd go deliver papers, then we'd make our own breakfast. We'd get ourselves ready for school. It was something we always did.
You kids felt responsible as a team.
No question about it.
I'm really curious, what do people that deliver papers know about wealth management that people that drive Mercedes don't know?
Well, I think, you know, I'm in the service business, and it's a very commoditized business, as is delivering papers. And one of the only ways you can differentiate yourself is the relationships that you create and the integrity that you have.
Wow. What's the website address of this organization known as Wilmington Trust?
You can go to mtbmarythomasboy.com and you'll find Wilmington Trust.
Let me have that one more time.
mtb.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with David Luigi, Regional President of Wilmington Trust, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-hosts, Mr. Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company's Kristen Rebeck, Cressa, John Hill, and George Mason University, John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, and Marie Spadafore, and Henry Fagan. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Stick around. And your name is, and I understand that you wrote a book. What's the title of the book, too?
Yeah, so John Hillen, and the book is called What Happens Now? Reinvent Yourself as a Leader Before Your Business Outruns You.
So why did you have any previous business success, and why did you write this book?
Well, I've run four different companies in two different industries, both public and private, and I've taken private to public and public to private. So and my career's just had a lot of stage change and performance change, and the phenomenon of the book is what happens if you're a victim of your own success. You go to a new stage, and everything's changed, and you're acting on a different, larger stage.
Wait. What do you mean you're a victim of your own success? Has that happened to you?
It's happened to me, and it's happened to the 40 other leaders we profile in the book. People make plans to be successful, and it works, which is a great cause for celebration. And then everything's different after it works, and a lot of people don't adjust.
You're telling me that I think I understand what you're talking about. I'm not sure that as we start getting to different levels of success, we have to shift.
Well, we not only have to shift, but you've got to reinvent yourself. One of the things we found in the book is when leaders are successful and they take the organization next level, and then they get confused by the new challenges there, they spend all their time trying to fix the organization and none of their time trying to reinvent themselves and change their own behaviors.
But sometimes I may not be aware that I'm getting confused. I may think I know the answers and then I'm actually keeping myself stuck.
Yeah, exactly. And most people just stay in their comfort zone and figure, I'm just going to work harder. But in fact, what we do in the book is give a development plan to people to reinvent themselves.
When you took that company public, how large or how small was that company?
About 2,000 people, about $250 million in revenue.
And you started that business. So you went from stage one to stage two to stage three. You've lived this. You really know this stuff.
That's right. And I had to be a totally different leader at every different stage
of development. What's the website of this book?
It's whathappensnowbook.com.
All right, let me have that one more time.
Whathappensnowbook.com.
And your name again is?
John Hillen.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Attention! Are you moving soon and don't know who to turn to? If you are moving or planning to move long distance or across the country, Moving APT is offering up to a 20% discount for radio callers this month. Let us handle and remove all the pain and stress in a long-distance move. Let Moving APT help you with your all-inclusive move, including packaging services, help with washers and dryers, mounted TVs, bed frames, and more. We can include packing and unpacking services, or ask for boxes, tape, bubble wrap, or labels. We also disassemble and reassemble appliances and TVs at your new home. Moving is difficult and stressful, so call Moving APT today to find the most professional movers to support you. If you are looking for a low-cost quote to move long distance or across the country, call us now. Call 800-716-0362. 800-716-0362. Get a guaranteed quote with up to 20% off. 800-716-0362.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Karen Zuckerman, president of HZDG. Karen, what is HZDG?
HZDG is an integrated creative agency, mm-hmm. and we specialize in branding, marketing, content, and all things digital.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is this organization?
We're about 185 people.
How do you get a job with this company?
I didn't get a job. I actually started the company when I was 23.
You started the business. And where are you from originally?
I'm from the Philadelphia area.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother and a younger brother.
So you're the middle of three. And what were you doing when you were about 11 years old to make money?
Well, I used to have carnivals and Olympics for all the kids in the neighborhood. So I would put them together in teams and do competitions one weekend, and then another weekend I would have a carnival where they'd play games and win prizes.
Wait. Whose idea was this?
It was all my idea.
So you were coming up with creative ideas and organizing kids when you were 11 years old,
yes.
into both carnivals And Olympics?
Yes.
What was the Olympics thing about?
It was just like I like to competition. I like to have races and really to give the kids something fun to do.
So your nature, and it was showing up at 11 years old, is to come up with creative ideas and pull a team together.
Yes.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with starting and building this agency called HZDG? Is there a connection there?
Yeah, I would say there's a connection. HZ is all about teamwork and creating something for whatever your client needs. So coming together from all areas of the company, working together for the final solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, why is it called HZDG?
It's all the way back. It comes from my maiden name and married name. So it's Hirshhorn Zuckerman mm-hmm. Design Group.
I gotcha. All right, Mr. Hillen.
When you got to high school, Karen, you're the neighborhood impresario organizing all these things, but now you got to go to the same classes as everybody and do all the same things. How did you get your creative energy out in high school in that regimented environment?
Well, I actually took a lot of art classes in high school, so that was one of my creative outlets, but I also ran on the track team and had a lot of fun with friends.
Yeah. What did you run on the track team?
I was a sprinter. And I was the anchor of the 4x100 relay.
Why were you the anchor?
I guess, being the fastest on the team, I was able to catch up at the end. So I was always, no matter what, however far behind, I was running to win.
Yeah, a track team's mostly individual things as scores get added up together, but it's an individual thing. How did you satisfy your organize the people around me, Gene, when you were running track?
I mean, we just always worked closely as a team. I was really close with all of the other people on the team, and actually the relay was one of my favorite races because you depended on others to get the win.
And it's the only team event in track and field
that
in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, Karen, we've established that you are competitive, you have the competitive drive, and you also described yourself earlier as easygoing. So how do you balance those two things in your work?
Well, I actually have really high expectations of people, but I'm very relatable. So in the office, I like to make a lot of relationships with people, but they know that I have high expectations, so they're always driven to to please, I guess.
Who were your role models for these two sort of opposite aspects of your spectrum?
So I would say both of my parents. My father was a CEO. My mother stayed at home, but she always had small entrepreneurial businesses, like making flowers or bracelets or opening a small boutique.
And Kristen?
You seem to have a high level of energy and motivation. Where does that come from? Is that something that you learned from a parent, or is it something that you have learned on your own?
I think it's just like part of who I am. I'm always driven to do more. My nickname in the office is the Energizer Bunny. They say I can't, I don't turn off until I get either unplugged or the battery comes out. Mm-hmm. So I just go and go and go. And I love what I do. So it never feels like work. And it's just a part of who I am.
John,
for whom are you a role model, Karen?
I would say for my kids, mostly, and hopefully everyone who works for me.
How many kids do you have?
I have three.
And what have you done with your kids that relate back to your business?
Well, my oldest daughter, I actually started another business with her when she was a freshman in college.
Whose idea was that?
It was an idea together, but she brought it up when we were shopping for her dorm room.
And what is it now?
It's called Dormify.com, and it's a website for college students to decorate their dorm rooms.
So what about you, do you think, gave your daughter the chutzpah or the energy to start a business?
I think she just saw how I worked and my expectations and the creativity, and she was just driven to do the same thing.
What's the similarity between being a mom and being the president of this company?
Well, managing your kids and their activities and their hopes and dreams, I think, are similar to everyone that works within our organization. You know, in a way, I feel like everyone who works for me is part of my family.
You really feel that way?
I really feel that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you managed to build a team of 185 people in an industry where, you know, there's tremendous turnover. I guess, you know what you're talking about. I guess you really do treat them as family. Otherwise, why would they stick around? Henry, what are you thinking?
Along with running track, you also said you were the manager of the football team. What
Yes.
made you decide you wanted to do that?
I really love football, and I wanted to actually play football. And since at that time they wouldn't let young women play football, I decided to be the manager of the football team.
What was involved with being the manager of the football team?
We had to write stats. We had to, carry equipment.
Why are you smiling as you tell us this story?
It's just a funny thing in my life that I don't think about that much.
Uh-huh. So tell us more a little bit about this, about these carnivals and Olympics at the age of 11. That's pretty strange for a young girl to think about making money and to go organize. Well, how many kids came to these things?
I would say probably around 20 or so.
20 kids?
Yeah.
Was that? Did you have a neighborhood filled with kids your own age?
Yeah. Well, they were young kids, so I was at probably seventh grade, and they were, six, seven, eight.
So you were organizing. And did they have to buy their way into the Olympics and into the carnivals?
You know what? I can't remember. I want to say I didn't charge them anything. That was just a passion project for me, and it was an idea of, doing something creative.
You don't remember selling tickets or anything like that?
I don't really remember selling tickets.
But you did mention to us that you, at 8 years old, you started making money. What was that about?
Yeah, so when I was young, down at the Jersey Shore, my brother and I had a booth where we sold stickers, and the way we got the stickers was we sent away to STP and Exxon and Castor Oil to get free stickers, and then we sold them to people.
So you understood about buying low and selling high, didn't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What'd you do with the money?
Actually, I gave a lot of the money to Lucy and Margate. I also used to take a can around to all the neighbors and try to collect money for Lucy to renovate her.
Tell our listening audience what Lucy's all about, please.
Lucy is a giant elephant that was once a hotel in Margate, New Jersey, and now it's a historic landmark. And back when I was young, it was falling apart, and they need money, and I really cared about Lucy, so that's what I did with my
So, I read the newspapers, and I thought that the reason people were in business was to make a ton of money, but it doesn't sound like that's necessarily your motivation if you were making money and giving it to Lucy.
Well, no, don't get me wrong. I was definitely motivated to make money, and I did throughout the rest of my high school career. But I just have, a giving heart, I guess.
What's the website address for HZDG?
Website address, hzdg.com.
Let me have that one more time.
horsezebradoggoat.com.
We've been speaking with Karen Zuckerman, president of HZDG, here on Executive Leaders Radio.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new Biz Talk Radio app.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce you to Cal El-Sayed, who's the CEO of Guidance Residential, LLC. Cal, what is Guidance Residential, LLC? What are you guys doing?
We offer a faith-based product for home financing.
And how large or how small is the company?
We're about 230 employees, and our volume or origination volume is about $700 million a year.
All righty. And you happen to be, it says here, you're the CEO of this organization. And where are you from originally?
I was born and raised in Cairo, Egypt, and that's where I'm from.
Uh-huh. Well, how young were you when you came to the United States?
I was 13 years old.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother and one sister.
And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the oldest.
So you're the oldest of three, and you guys came to the United States when you were 13. And I guess it was pretty easy for you to adapt from going from Egypt, and I understand you moved to California. How was that transition?
I didn't fit in at all in the beginning.
Did you feel that you didn't fit in? Do you remember that feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't speak to anyone because I didn't speak English very well.
Give me some other examples of what was going on, how you felt back then.
Well, culturally, just everything was different. Football is soccer where I came from. So there's just many, many differences. And it was a crash course in learning a new culture.
What do you think the upside of not feeling like you fit in is nowadays in terms of your business? Because you built a very successful business here.
It's a fresh eyes or a fresh set of eyes on something that everyone takes for granted, and you'd be amazed at how many things you come to appreciate when you're setting a fresh set of eyes on them.
Like, give me an example of what you're talking about.
You know, I'll start with football. It was called soccer where I came from, and I thought that that's what we were going to play when the kids were playing, and it was something completely different, and I was completely lost.
Wow. Mr. Hill, any questions?
So you started high school right after this culture shock of coming to the U.S. How did you try to fit in your high school?
Well, you have to try and find somebody that you can communicate with, because that's the first thing. And I was standing in line one time in a cafeteria, and a football coach came and tapped on my shoulders and said, "You're a big guy. Why don't you come out and play football?"
An American football coach,
football.
Not a soccer coach. But because you had a lot of football experience, and it's a big sport in Cairo, right?
Absolutely not.
Right, so you never played it before. What was that experience like, being thrown into a tough, violent, organized game as a new kid in America?
Well, you really had to learn to adapt. Like I said, everybody knew the plays, everybody knew the game, everybody understood the rules, and you were having to learn all of that and learn it fast, because when you got it wrong, you got pummeled.
And what position did you play?
Left tackle.
And what does a left tackle do in the game?
Protects the quarterback.
Right. You've seen that movie, The Blind Side, right?
Yep.
So how does that, learning a new game, having to protect the key player, how does that translate into the way you approach your business and your clients?
Well, like an earlier guest, I feel very much responsible for an entire organization and not just for myself. And so my job is to protect everyone in that organization.
Emery?
So, Cal, what do you get from your mom?
So she's left me with two wonderful gifts. One is the love of reading, and one is the love of chess. And if I'm not doing one, I'm doing the other.
Talk to me about chess. How does chess impact the way that you execute your business?
Well, the better you are at chess, the farther out your view is, which is very much business-oriented. So some players are 30 moves out, and some players are 15 moves out. And the one that wins is the one who can see farther.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Schuhart.
Cal, are you married?
Yes.
Children?
Yes.
How many?
I have nine children.
Nine children. So
What brings you the greatest joy as the father of nine children?
I always felt like it was my job as the oldest to learn and teach, and so I now have my own experiment at home to teach.
And what do you really love to teach these nine children?
Because I feel a great passion for what I do for a living, I really talk about the financial structures, the modern financial system, and what I do for a living and why it's good.
So how do you teach people at your office? These 230 employees, how do you teach them compared to how you teach your children?
So I speak a lot. I have town hall meetings. We operate in 30 states, so I travel quite a bit and visit in person. And today's society wants the story in short snippets, so I've created lots of videos that explain complex matters in simple terms.
But how do you really connect with these employees?
There's nothing like being on the ground with them and spending time with them. You cannot take away from the presence. Presence is everything.
So how does a kid who's born in Egypt connect with young millennials in the workforce in the United States?
And that's where my kids come in handy. They're all millennials, and I have learned so many different millennial words from them that I can then relate.
Wait. You're telling what have you learned from your kids that's helped you build the $700 million company?
The young generation today has a very different perspective on life. They're less about ownership and more about access to things. And so those are important things to consider when you're talking to them.
So you're telling me you've actually learned about business through your kids, through hanging out with your kids.
Every day.
Huh. That's fascinating to me. Kristen, what are you thinking?
You're obviously very resilient, both mentally and physically, in your past. How does that impact you today, and where did you learn that from?
So when I came to the United States at age 13, that first year is where I probably learned the greatest amount of resilience, because in spite of everything that you experience, in spite of all the setbacks, you really had to get up and start all over again. And that really teaches you you learn from your mistakes, first of all, and then you don't repeat them, and you just make new mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Henry?
When you were much younger, you said you had your own paper route. What do you think you took from that and translates into what you do now?
Well, I think there were a lot of people depending on that paper. Remember, the society back then didn't have technology. There was no internet. The only access to information was that paper route. The paper.
Okay. So you felt a responsibility to make sure that they were delivered on time?
Oh, yeah, and I got to hear from them if it wasn't on time or if it was thrown in the bushes or any of those things.
So you knew, you were concerned about how the customer felt. Mr. Shuhart, what are you thinking?
You said good chess players look far into the future and many moves into the future. What's in the future for your journey of learning and teaching?
Well, I really believe that technology is changing a lot of things that we take for granted today. I think we're all experiencing it. And so I think that my main concern right now, or my main focus, is the workforce. I think that we're going to go to a workforce where there's not necessarily an office where everybody goes to. And so that's my main focus at the moment.
And how are you going to keep that connection with that workforce that's just so distributed and not in an office where you can see and touch them every day?
So it's a trade-off. The young millennial generation wants the freedom to be able to have freedom to work from home and those types of things. And so you're given something of value, but also you're taking on some new risks, as you described. But you can't stop progress, and so you have to adapt.
John Hillen.
You said your mom gave you the gifts of reading and chess. What gifts did your father give you?
He was a serial entrepreneur, and so I suppose a lot of the resilience also comes from his repeated attempts to succeed, and so I would say that was the gift he gave me.
Well, what gifts are you giving your kids?
Mm-hmm. Just to look at things from a fresh set of eyes, a different perspective, not to take things for granted. Just because they read it somewhere, it doesn't mean that it's true. They have to vet it out themselves.
What if we were doing a good job interviewing you, what else would we be covering? What else would we be asking you? What else should I be asking you in order to really understand who you are?
I think it's our personalities show up in our work, and so it's probably my work that's most curious and should be explored at some time.
What do you enjoy about your work?
That I'm trying to change the world.
What? What are you talking about?
Well, what I do is offer an alternative to the current financial system. That's something that's very unique. It's a lot like when Apple was introducing a computer and everybody else had a computer already.
Mm-hmm. So you're on a mission.
I believe that I have something of a value to offer to society.
You believe you have something to offer society of value. So you don't see yourself, you know, you sort of see yourself as a salesman and as a CEO, but you're not doing it to take money from people. You're doing it because you think you've got a better alternative.
Yes, I do, and it's because I've experienced the other side. I mean, I learned my trade in conventional finance, and now I'm doing something other than that.
So
there's a reason why.
So you like making a difference. You like being different. You got comfortable being different when you were a kid and came from Egypt to California. And because you got comfortable being different and learning how to adapt, you learned how to adapt in the financial system here, and now you're doing something different. Am I reading that correctly?
I think that's an accurate read.
Uh-huh. What's the website address of your organization?
GuidanceResidential.com.
Let me have that one more time.
GuidanceResidential.com.
And we've been speaking with Cal El-Sayed, CEO of Guidance Residential LLC here on Executive Leaders Radio. That's Guidance Residential LLC here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment right after this break. And your name and organization is?
Megan Fishburn with Agency Q.
And what is Agency Q?
We're a digital marketing agency.
Uh-huh. What's your role in the agency?
I am the head of our strategic accounts, so I work with clients to learn about their businesses and challenges and how our agency can help.
What do you like about your job?
I get to learn something new every day, be it from the people that I work with or the clients that we have. I'm always learning about a new business, a new skill, a new trend.
Wait a minute. On one hand, that could be very confusing and daunting because everything's changing all the time. And you're telling me you look forward to every day where you have to get to know new stuff and new people and how you can solve clients' problems?
Yes, absolutely. We have a duty to our clients' success. And in order to do that, you have to stay relevant with the industries, with their businesses.
Wait a minute. So not only are you dealing with new people every day and the problems that they've got, you've got to be aware of what's going on in their industries as well. Do you ever sleep?
On occasion.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, so in order to help somebody with their marketing, you've got to really understand not just what they want to do, but the competitive landscape as well, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Everything from the people they work with, the technology that they have, the processes that they have, it all has to work together.
So you must have really big arms, you know, putting your arms around each one of these accounts. So your job is, did you say strategy or something like that?
Head of strategic accounts.
So head of strategic accounts. So you're really getting involved with these accounts in terms of helping them figure out, making suggestions where they could go in terms of their marketing efforts.
Yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh. And, boy, this sounds like there's no end in sight. It's like you're constantly on. What's the website address of your organization?
AgencyQ.com.
Let me have that one more time.
AgencyQ.com.
AgencyQ.com. And your name again is?
Megan Fishburn.
And your role in that agency?
Vice President of Strategic Accounts.
All right. And this has been your Business Spotlight.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Tim Davis, President and CEO of Close Up Foundation. Tim, what is Close Up Foundation? What are you guys doing?
Close Up is a nonpartisan student engagement organization. We bring around 20,000 students and teachers from middle school and high school to Washington every year to study government, politics, student activism.
Interesting. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
How many brothers and sisters?
I am the youngest of four brothers.
Uh-huh. How'd that affect you? How'd you feel growing up being the youngest of four?
You know, I was very supportive and loved, and there was a generational divide in my family. My oldest brother is 14 years older, so I didn't really have a memory of him until he was in college. But we were very close family, close brothers.
Heidi?
So you were very close family. Wonder what your conversations were like at the dinner table.
You know, we were always involved with politics, government, what was going on in the world, what our role was in that world, and it inspired me really throughout my life.
So were you involved, you mentioned in the green room that you were involved in close-up as a young child?
Yeah, I actually went on the first close-up program in 1971 went on to do other things.
How'd that affect you?
It set the course of my life, both my professional life. Things look very linear in hindsight than they do as you're going through it. But as I look back, it really set the course of my professional and personal life.
Charles?
What would be an indication of the man that you would end up being when you were growing up as a kid?
Well, I was not into sports, for example. I was a student council geek, and I always loved politics. I was involved in campaigns from a very young age, and I was trying to figure out how to take an avocation to my life and make it a vocation.
So a Jewish kid from Oklahoma. Explain that.
Well, it was, you know, I had five Jewish kids in my graduating class.
Not that you counted.
What? Not that I counted. And there was a sense of feeling a bit outside, a bit different. And I think it gave me some perspective throughout my life to kind of reach out and help those who are facing special challenges because of their difference.
Is that one of the reasons you're involved with bringing 20,000 kids to into the world of politics and government?
Absolutely. I mean, I felt a sense of empowerment through my difference and through my student council work as a kid.
What do you mean you felt a sense of empowerment? What are you talking about there?
I think the way I dealt with being a little bit of an outsider in Oklahoma was I empowered myself. I worked in campaigns. I tried to bring about changes that I thought were important in our society.
So you really felt as a kid that by getting involved with student government, with getting involved with politics, you really could change things.
Absolutely.
I got it. And boy, you know, it makes sense to me why you're the head, why you're the, it says here, you're the president and CEO of Close Up Foundation. It makes a lot of sense. Mark, questions?
What particular book or movie had a significant impact on your life?
Well, I'm going to pick two. One is The Graduate, and
why,
the other
why
is
was The Graduate? Why the Graduate?
Graduate was about struggling. A young man after college struggling with his passions, with his interests, trying to figure out where he was going to go. Mm-hmm. The other is To Kill a Mockingbird, which really had an impact on my sense of the importance of equality and social justice.
Huh, how interesting. Anne-Marie, what are you thinking?
So what values might you bring from Oklahoma to your work?
I think Oklahoma is a Western state. A lot of people think of it as a Southern state, and it's very entrepreneurial. And I think that in everything that I've tried to do in my career, I've tried to bring a sense of entrepreneurship and the role that an individual can play in an organizational setting.
And Marie, what else are you thinking there?
I just want to know, talk to me a little bit more about empowerment. That seems to be a very big theme mm-hmm. for you.
I think the way you deal with challenges in life, with fears in life, is to build a sense of empowerment through, and I think a great place to do that is in politics, in government, in social policy, social justice issues. Mm-hmm. And the more you can empower people, the more that they will have control over their life.
Charles?
And won't be defined by others.
Mm-hmm. Tim, are you married?
I'm widowed. I lost my wife about 10 years ago.
And how has that changed your course of life?
It was a tragic event. I think one thing that I take away from that is that I did some parenting through that process, but my kids did some parenting too. And I think it gave me a great sense of, you know, that people who may report to you, who may be new to an organization, you can look to them for counsel, for advice, and support. That's one of the lessons I took from that whole experience.
Have you remarried?
No. No.
When you say this was a tragic loss, and how has that shaped you, and how has that shaped the way you're running this organization?
Well, as a single parent, you know, I just had to be more engaged. And I'm dealing, most of my staff are millennials. And so I have had to come to grips with how you manage a millennial and differently than the way you manage people who have more organizational
experience.
So this
tragic loss of your wife, as opposed to you separating from humanity, it pulled you closer?
I think so. I mean, what it did beyond just the tragedy and the sadness associated with it, it gave me a real sense of how to collaborate. And because there was no way as a single parent, I think, that you can do it alone.
So you're telling me that the loss of your wife really helped you understand how to build a team? What am I missing there?
I think build a team, but also just how to collaborate. A lot of people think of a CEO as a pure executive. They make decisions and it's done. I view my role as a CEO as much more legislative and more collaborative. Occasionally I have to come down and make a decision, but for the most part I've got to drive the organization. I have to lobby the organization to get to where I want to be in an organization.
It sounds so, to me, so what's the similarity between being a dad and being the, it says you're the president and CEO of Close Up Foundation. What's the similarity?
As a single parent, you know what it means to lobby your children. So I think I developed that skill both professionally and personally.
What's the website address of Close Up Foundation?
Closeup.org.
Let me have that one more time.
Closeup.org.
We've been speaking with Tim Davis, president and CEO of Close Up Foundation, as well as we've had the opportunity of speaking with T. Michael Scott, vice chairman and president, Cambridge Holdings, Brian Callahan, president and CEO of Segway Technologies, Amy Reed and Leslie Barron, co-founders of Wolfies, and most recently, Tim Davis, president and CEO of Close Up Foundation. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company's Marcos Association for Enterprise Growth, Heidi Parsons, Torchlight Hire, Charles Mann, Verity Commercial, and Anne-Marie Spadafore for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we do appreciate you joining us today. And again, it was T. Michael Scott, Cambridge Holdings, Tim Davis, Close Up Foundation, Brian Callahan, and Segway Technologies, and Amy Ree, Leslie Barron, Wolfies. Thank you for joining us. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Oh, we nailed that.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio,